Annie, I forgot to mention that you were also the MC of the event, which was actually a very important role you played there. And in terms of going out and popularizing the event before it happened, the actual dialogue back in November, you also spent a lot of time talking with people and sometimes wrestling with people, but also talking with them about the importance of this dialogue. And I wanted you to, you know, talk about something you and I have often talked about, which is the historic character of the dialogue. What is it?
Yeah, well, on a few levels. One, there's sort of never been a coming together of revolutionary leader who's leading a movement for revolution now with a revolutionary Christian. And that alliance, that coming together of forging the deep unity that West and Avakian have, but also a lot of the a lot of struggles, an overarching thing of this kind of coming together on this question. And then in the dialogue in particular, what was so historic about it is here you had a public appearance from Bob Avakian, a chance to see him speak live and in person. And this is somebody who's, you know, there's people who make big breakthroughs in their field of endeavor throughout all of human history, and there have been and there will be more. And Avakian is somebody who's made tremendous breakthroughs in a whole new conception of communist revolution and a whole new conception of a whole different way the world could be. And so here he was in dialogue with Cornel West, who's a, you know, a really honest and principled, prominent intellectual who's never backed down from standing with the people of the world and challenging others to do the same. And so here they were sharing a stage together and doing it on a question that is right now impacting the lives of millions of people all around the world. And so all of the way that came together, it's never been done before. It really was truly historic. And then once you were in the room, that character really, you felt it on a whole deeper level, the response and the relationship of the audience to both speakers. The most people were just on the edge of their seats and you could feel it. I had the opportunity to watch the audience from the stage and people just standing up and cheering and clapping at key points all throughout it because they were touched so deeply to their souls with people calling out the misery that they have to face in the society, but also pointing to a whole different way the world could be. And again, struggling through with a lot of unity about that and then struggling through their difference. And it tapped into something very deep. And I think the film can on a whole other level.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I went to the simulcast here in Los Angeles and it was amazing when you turned around and you looked at the room and the people who were in there and it seemed, sort of mirrored what you're talking about in terms of the people who came to this event, but you know, to the actual event in New York. But there was also something that I saw that you were just speaking to, which is, you know, this point about what it struck in people. People who often I've had conversations with them often, and they would, you know, either get a tiny spot of cynicism when they're talking about, they talk about what they wish was possible or what they wish could happen, but then they get a tiny bit of cynicism when you're talking about, well, it can. And I actually saw people there who were just glued, their eyes and their ears were just glued to what was being said, you know, during the simulcast from the stage in New York. People who actually, you know, I didn't think actually, you know, and it was probably on me because I thought like, well, this guy, every time he shifted, I thought, well, he's getting ready to get up and go. But he was actually shifting so he could actually hear better or he could get, you know, get into it a little bit more. And it was across the board, it seemed to have that kind of impact on people, which is very, very good. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but it also has something to do with the participants in the dialogue and the moment that this all occurred in.
Yeah, I think that's important, Michael. This dialogue happened on November 15th. This was just days before the grand jury findings were released in St. Louis, where the murderer of Michael Brell is let off without even an indictment, without even bringing it before a jury. And then just a week after this, there was the non-indictment in Staten Island, New York, of the police murderer of Eric Garner. So this was present in the room on top of everything else that people are feeling, the whole culture of rape and degradation of women, the devastation of the environment, the international situation, and all of this has only gotten worse. And what was so unique about this and why it so much matters now that people come to these premieres and also get online and get thousands and tens of thousands more to listen to this is that both of these speakers came from a place of deep morality from different philosophical and epistemological points of view, which means how they understand the world, but they both came from a very common place of saying it is unacceptable and unconscionable to accept this way of life that does this kind of degradation, devastation, and outright killing of our youth, including among the black youth and Latin youth who are being shot down by the police of this country at the rate of more than one a day, including that this is the beginning of a slow genocide, and it really must be stopped. And what's extraordinary here, and I think what affected people and why they were at the edge of their seats, is because of this tremendous morality and unaccepting of this situation by both speakers. But in Avakian's presentation, he really brought out to people that this is not an anomaly, it's not a peculiarity, it's not just bad ideas among a few people, but this oppression of black and Latino people and these divisions in society are intrinsic in the system of capitalism and imperialism. And Avakian has spent his whole life getting into this and digging out what are the root causes of this and showing people how it is not necessary for this to go on any longer, how it is possible to actually make a revolution, as he puts it, drawing from the 60s, in here in the belly of the beast. What's the strategy and plan for that? People got a sense of that in this room, and they were gripped. They hadn't heard anybody else talk about it. Nobody's been talking about this for years. And more than that, he actually presented a different vision of a radically different world in a section of the speech that's called the What Ifs, and you people can watch this now in a short YouTube clip to get ready for Saturday's premiere online at revcom.us. But I think that, you know, what Andy brought out, and just let me finish this comment with this, is that people have to realize what it means that people put up with this stuff every day. My God, if you watch the assault at the University of Virginia of Martise Johnson, it just made your blood boil. And then to have somebody be able to break down for you why this happens and how it could be radically transformed through a different social system and government coming about through revolution, how that is possible and what it could bring about for a community of humanity around the world, well, that's extraordinary. It's what's needed, and people've never heard it before. And that's what really gets delivered in this film through Avakian and through the exchange with Cornell, which we can get into more, what they were talking about and disagreeing about in terms of religion and how they, and the synthesis they had between each other.